How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A Voice of St. Louis original podcast.
The old adage of like, well, you know, make sure you know somebody before you share it. A lot of times these children, teens especially, they think they know somebody on the other end.
If we hope to survive in this digital age, we have to think critically about the messages we consume. Someone created those messages for a reason. Let's find out why. Sometimes we just have to ask, what the media? I'm Megan Lynch, virtual consumer editor at KMOX Radio. I'm joined by Julie Smith, author of Master the Media, How Teaching Media Literacy Can Save Our Plugged-In World. In this episode, a new tool to help young victims of online exploitation get some control back of sensitive and explicit images.
It could be a photo you took, a photo someone else took. It could be a video. It could be a selfie. It could be an AI-generated image that has your face.
We talk with Gavin Portnoy of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children about the launch of Take It Down.
The uptick of online enticement and just seeing kids share imagery online, it really is a growing problem. We saw it increase exponentially over the pandemic, of course. You know, kids were given devices. Often this is how you're going to school now. In many cases, mom and dad aren't right there with them. So we definitely saw an uptick then, but we've been tracking this since basically 2015. So since cell phones have become easier to get your hands on, tablets, just devices in general. We've seen a major uptick since 2015 alone. We've seen over 266,000 reports of online enticement coming into the National Center. So if you look at that statistic against what we're seeing just with overall reports through our cyber tip line, which is the nation's central reporting mechanism for reported child sexual abuse material, we're just seeing an absolute hockey stick in the growth of this problem. So, we can't speak to the issue itself, but we can speak to what we're seeing come into NCMEC cyber tip line.
What are some of the types of things that are exposing kids on the internet and social media?
It's interesting. Most kids are actually the ones that are exposing themselves. And in these cases, so that, really was a drive for creating Take It Down. It is self-produced content. So somebody taking a picture, often at the request of another child in some cases, oftentimes also a perpetrator on the other end of it, they're simply being asked to produce content and then they're sharing it with someone on the other end. There have been a couple of studies that have been done that a lot of kids, they're friends, they have never actually met in real life. It's been a completely online relationship that they've had with these people. So, the old adage of like, well, make sure you know somebody before you share it. A lot of times these children, teens especially, they think they know somebody on the other end. And, in many cases, what we're seeing in cases of online enticement is it's actually not that case. So we're seeing examples where somebody could entice a child and it takes, weeks, months, years in some cases for them to build up a relationship with the child before they're asking for this illicit imagery. But we're also seeing cases where it happens in a matter of minutes. The child's being extorted or sextorted, as we call it here at the National Center. In that case, it's mostly targeting boys. They're getting a friend request or a message from what appears to be to them a very attractive female, and they just start sharing imagery. And before you know it, they're either asking for more imagery or they're asking for money. And, a lot of kids are taking dire steps as a result of that. We even see some cases where kids are committing suicide because they don't know how to deal with the situation. And that, again, not to bring it back to Take It Down, but that really was a driving force for us to create this.
Gavin, in the work that I do with high schoolers, we talk a lot about the drive and desire that kids have for affirmation online, and in many cases, affirmation from strangers. What role does that play in a child's decision to send something inappropriate?
What we're going to talk about more here is going to be about the data and what we're able to discern from it. We definitely see there being a sense of A, I want to please somebody on the other end of this conversation. A lot of times in many of these cases, we're seeing it's even like a Romeo and Juliet situation. So I'm going to share this picture with somebody who I have a romantic relationship with, and, you know, we're great. But, you know, we know high school romances go, right? A couple weeks later, you're not so good a friend. And, you know, we're seeing cases where that imagery is leaking. We're also seeing cases where, you know, children are just feeling, again, that they want to please this person on the other end, especially if it could turn out to be romantic. We're seeing a bit of that, but I definitely would want to defer to specialists that work with child behavior, so on and so forth. A lot of what I can read into is anecdotal based on what we're seeing in cyber tip line reports. So I hope that helps answer your question a bit there.
No, it totally does. And usually what I've discovered with a lot of high schoolers is that they've been told, right, to not do this. And they've been told that the pictures are out there forever, but it doesn't seem like it really sinks in until they get burned themselves.
Exactly. I think, you know, the reality is a lot of it's just another thing for these kids, right? It's just another part of their experience of being on these apps, another part of their experience of their digital life. And, you know, the whole don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Eventually, you know, you don't cut through. You know, one of the big things we do here at the center is we don't try to dissuade people from using technology. We try to encourage putting good guardrails around the usage of technology and teaching kids how to be good digital stewards. Because, I mean, we're at a point now where kindergartners are getting computers in some schools, right? Where it's important that, you know, trusted adults in lives have these conversations with kids and regular conversations with kids. That's the other thing that we're seeing in many of these cases. People are like, oh, it couldn't happen to me. You know, this could never happen to me or my child or my family. And the reality is, this isn't one of those things where it's socioeconomic or it's geographical or anything like that. It is literally everywhere. It's going to be in the most affluent and the most poor, in the most, you could pick any gender, race, it's going to be there. You're going to have this problem. And, you know, again, having good guardrails and having regular conversations with your kids is the only way to combat this.
The program that you have launched, Take It Down, describe for us what this is and what it does.
Sure. So Take It Down is actually a very simple program on the surface, but is the first of its kind. It's really simple to create a case with Take It Down. So it's for anybody who is under 18 or was under 18 when an illicit image or photo, image, photo, video, you name it, was taken of them. They can go to Take It Down. It takes 40 seconds to create a case. They get asked a series of questions. They then point the service to that image or video on their device. And it can be any device. It can be a phone, tablet, computer with a modern browser. They point it to that image or video. It gets hashed, which is a nerdy way of saying we take a digital fingerprint of it. That digital fingerprint then gets shared with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. We're not sharing any personal information. There's none of the child's name, address, nothing else is taken. It's just that hash gets shared with us. We then share it with participating electronic service providers that agree to take it down. Now at launch here, we've got Facebook, we've got Instagram, we've got OnlyFans, we have Yubo, and we have MindGeek, which is the parent company of Pornhub. They've all agreed to take it down. And then it's up to the ESP, electronic service provider, to review the content and decide if it comes down or not. Now, many times they're just going to take it at face value and remove it. But we are creating a really good feedback loop with them where we don't want it to be used for nefarious purposes. You know, be really used to be like, yeah, I'm under the age of 18. I'm putting up someone's cat photo or somebody's, you know, really nice wedding picture who I may not be friends with anymore, and I want that image taken down. We're making sure we're working with electronic service providers to make sure that, you know, it's illicit content that's harmful that's coming down.
And Gavin, this counts for photos that are selfies as well, right?
This counts for anything. It could be a photo you took, a photo someone else took. It could be a video. It could be a selfie. It could be an AI generated image that has your face associated with this. So if it has your likeness on it and you want it taken down, that's what Take It Down is for.
So you have to know how to find it and that it's out there. It's not like you can just say, do a search of my facial features and see if there's anything on me.
No, you do need to have the source photo or video. If there's been any alteration done to that video or photo, you need to have that version as well. We hope that a future version of Take It Down will actually take care of that. So let's say you have a photo and you shared it with someone and they added an emoji to it, or they turn it into a meme and they put text over top of it. That's technically a unique image, and that would need to be hashed separately. So you do need to be aware that this image is out there. You know, again, we hope that a future release will be able to take care of that. So, you know, you won't need to, and we'll use, frankly, some AI or photo DNA, which is another tool that's out there at our disposal to be able to tell that, oh, that's the same image. Let's remove that as well. Another important thing to mention is, you know, we've talked about, oh, oops, I shared a photo, or there's a photo of me out there. How do I get it taken down? The other thing that's really interesting here is Take It Down prevents the upload of that image to these services. So, you know, I'll go back to the boyfriend girlfriend scenario that I shared before. Like, you know, you're in a romantic relationship with someone, you share that photo or video with them, you guys break up, and then you have reason to believe that, ooh, that's not going the way it should be. And you have reason to believe that they may share it or it could end up somewhere. You can preventatively go to Take It Down, create your case, and that will prevent the upload of your image to these platforms.
Gavin, is there any way, I know that Take It Down works with these platforms, is there any technology coming down the pipe that could help remove images from that have been texted rather than posted on another platform?
Nothing that we're aware of. So again, this is a specific agreement that we have with the electronic service providers to remove it. The phone, it's technically, it's a personal device at that point, and we don't really have control over that. So it really is to prevent the public aspect right. of it. That's what it's there for.
The broadcasting.
Exactly.
One question I have, especially when we're dealing with images of underage individuals, shouldn't these platforms to some extent be policing that anyway?
So the vast majority of the platforms are automatically policing for illicit child sexual abuse material. This group especially, they are regular reporters, the cyber tip line. So again, that's kind of the after the fact part, which is, again, this is just another step. It's another piece of the arsenal, if you will. What's really unique about Take It Down is preventing the upload of that imagery into the ecosphere, if you will, in the first place. But yeah, they are all, I don't want to say searching, but they are on the lookout for illicit material. The way that works though is it has to be known material. So they're not going through everyone's, you know, messages, and that's very much a good reason for that, right? So, you know, they're not looking unless they have a reason to. So many of them, especially Facebook, who actually help fund Take It Down, they look for signals. So they'll look for, this person might be advertising a child for sex, or they might be advertising that imagery. If they have reason to believe that you're a nefarious user, then they'll probably take a step, you know, another step, and create a cyber tip line report, which again, nothing we're talking about here would Take It Down as a substitute for reaching out to law enforcement or creating a cyber tip line report. This is really, it's intended to give a victim or a potential victim control over their image, which, you know, if you have done any homework on this, I encourage people to look into it. Every time that image is out there, it's a re-victimization of that person. And it's incredibly important that they have this ability to take their image back, take their voice back. And that really is what Take It Down is for.
I know this is so very new, but so far, what has been the response?
Yeah, so we did a soft launch at the end of December where we worked specifically with some of these survivor groups that we engage with here regularly at the center. We also did a little bit of light advertising on social media. And going into the launch this past week, we had over 200 unique hashes added. So 200 unique images added to Take It Down. After the official launch, after we were sure everything was working the way we wanted, we had over 1,000 within a week. So the public is reacting. They are absolutely using it and using it well.
What do you think this will do for victims of this, or kids who have made a mistake and they want to hope to pull some of it back?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that Take It Down does is it re-empowers these people. It re-empowers victims, re-empowers possible victims. It empowers people to really take control. And when you work with people that have gone through this, that have been victims of child sexual abuse material, the ability to give them that back is monumental. And you know, if we do it for one kid, I mean, that's amazing. But you know, seeing the results that we've had already, I think we're making a difference in a lot of people's lives. The other thing that's just really, really incredible about it is just the impact it has on even a community. When you look at the fact that some of these children that have been in these dire situations, they don't feel like they have a way out. You know, I mentioned suicide. You know, we're seeing kids commit suicide. The fact that this hopefully will encourage a child to know that that is not an option here. You know, there's a way to take care of this, and there are people here who can help you. And that really is our overall message, is, you know, take it down as a tool. It's part of the arsenal, but you know, I think the bigger message is that, you know, we're here. There are adults in your life that are here to help you. There is a network of people that are prepared to take on, you know, the badness in the world on your behalf.
Gavin, what are some of the platforms that Take It Down is really aiming to add to their list?
I unfortunately can't mention them, but if you go to our cyber tip line, you can see a list of all the companies that currently report. I'll tell you, every single one of them is a target for us. We'd very much like them all to sign up for the Take It Down hash list. It is a completely voluntary initiative, and it's not lost on us that it is a lift for the electronic service providers. That said, we don't want to give them too much of an out. They created these environments. You know, it is right of them to, you know, police them. We're very appreciative of the five who signed on out of the gate. I'll tell you, the common questions we get are some of the other companies that are in the news regularly right now, and they're all very interested in signing on for Take It Down. You know, I mentioned Take It Down as being a tool. It is not a silver bullet at all. And I mentioned briefly, but prevention really is the absolute best medicine here. You know, we hear often that it's difficult to have these conversations with kids. It's difficult to find the time. And, you know, we cannot stress it enough. You know, some of these kids don't have parents, but they do have adults in their lives. They do have trusted adults in their lives. We have free resources at ncmic.org available for people. And again, they're all geared towards specific age groups. So the way we're going to ask you to talk to teenagers in the same way you might talk to a grade schooler. So they're all age appropriate, and they're not cheesy at all. They're very specific to the right audience, and we cannot encourage that enough. We hope that they don't need Take It Down. I mean, that really is the goal, to have it be something that's not needed. It's a fail-safe, it's not a first line of defense.
That's Gavin Portnoy of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children talking about Take It Down. For links to the center and the program, return to this podcast page or go to missingkids.org. What the Media is produced by Odyssey St. Louis from the studios of KMOX Radio. I'm Megan Lynch with Julie Smith. Our executive producer is Beth Coughlin. We invite you to visit KMOX.com for more on our media literacy project.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.